on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the HSE warns that recent positive COVID-19 trends have stalled. The chief executive says there are areas of particular concern which are being monitored. Meanwhile, the HSE's chief operations officer confirms 450 staff are off work due to a number of COVID-19 outbreaks at hospitals around the country. And O'Connor says Letterkenny is one of the worst affected. The HSE, Donegal Gardaí and Donegal County Council issue an urgent joint appeal urging people to stop the spread of COVID-19 in the county. And Brexit negotiations are suspended after a European negotiator tests positive. Later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin Kelly, and because it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore directly afterwards. But we begin with that HSE press conference that took place this evening, the HSE warning that the recent positive COVID-19 trends have stalled. The HSE says outbreaks in households are the main factor. There have been almost 1,000 in the last week alone. The reproduction rate of the virus has now risen slightly. It's estimated at being between 0.7 and 0.9. The HSE's chief executive Paul Reid says they're monitoring some areas of particular concern.
The trend we were seeing has stalled. That's been the biggest factor. But a similar trend to what we've seen all year, high transmission levels in households with some community transmissions. We are seeing marginal increases in our serial testing in nursing homes, schools not particularly. Meat plants, again, a marginal increase, but they are early warning indicators for us.
In a joint statement this evening, Donegal's two Sinn Féin TDs have repeated calls for more urgent government support for Letterkenny University Hospital as the COVID crisis there deepens. Speaking in the Dáil this week, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin told the Taoiseach that there were 133 staff off work as of Friday last, with that number likely to have increased to over 150 in recent days. He and Deputy Piers Doherty again said today that this is an unprecedented crisis and every possible additional resource should be deployed to the hospital. Around 450 staff are off work due to a number of COVID-19 outbreaks at hospitals across the country. And this afternoon, the HSE's Chief Operations Officer, Anne O'Connor, confirmed that Letterkenny is one of the worst affected.
In both Naas and Talla hospitals, as of now, we have around 90 staff out in each of those sites, COVID-related, not all positive, about half and half in terms of close contacts. We also have about 130 staff in Limerick and around 130 staff in Letterkenny. Much smaller outbreak in Kilkenny with about 10 staff.
The HSE, Donegal Garda Division and Donegal County Council have issued an urgent joint appeal urging people in the county to stop the spread of COVID-19. The Northwest Major Emergency Management Interagency Group is warning that if restrictions are to be eased in the county, action must be taken now. The group says the incidence rate of the virus in Donegal is too high, more than double the national average. And with cross-border travel and people still congregating for social purposes, including wakes and funerals, it is a serious situation. Superintendent David Kelly says there is a cross-border element, but he says a lot of concerning trends are developing within the county.
We have noticed that there is cross-border traffic, but we have noticed in general that traffic levels within the county have not decreased in line with what you would expect. And this has been borne out in the statistics we're getting from our colleagues in the HSE in terms of where these outbreaks are coming from. We're concerned with people gathering outside of the family, attending maybe events like funerals. All these things are resulting in increased traffic but increased contacts, and as a result Donegal actually has the highest 14-day incident rate in the country.
Brexit negotiations have been suspended for a short period after one of the European negotiators tested positive for COVID-19. In a tweet, the EU's chief Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, confirmed the move. He said the teams will continue to work in full respect of all guidelines. There's been a widespread welcome in Derry today to confirmation that £1.3 million has been approved in additional support for City of Derry Airport. Among those issuing statements welcoming the funding are Derry Chamber and Derry City and Strabane District Council. Stormont Infrastructure Minister Nicola Mallon says it's a short-term support grant based on 50% of the airport's deficit for this financial year. She says the intention is to help City of Derry Airport remain operational during the COVID-19 emergency. With more, here's Eamon Torsney.
In a statement this afternoon, Minister Nicola Nicola Mallon says airports connect people and places, and their importance in these times of restricted movement must be maintained. She adds she recognises the vital role that City of Derry Airport plays as a gateway to the Northwest, and that's why she and her executive colleagues have been striving to ensure that City of Derry Airport is supported to remain open at this time of economic challenge. She says other airports are also facing challenges as a result of COVID-19, and confirmed urgent consideration is also being given by the executive to support for Belfast City and Belfast International Airports. The minister's statement also acknowledges the cross-border importance of the airport. It's estimated that up to 40% of the traffic using City of Derry Airport originates in Donegal.
The country's mink farmers have been told they have to cull all their mink over concerns about the spread of COVID-19. It's after a mutated strain of the virus was linked to the animal in Denmark. With more, here's Stephanie Rowan.
There are around 100,000 minks in three farms across the country, in Laois, Donegal and Kerry. The chief medical officer has now written to the Department of Agriculture recommending they all be culled over the next few weeks. It's after officials in Denmark discovered a mutated form of COVID-19 can pass back to humans from minks. It's led to safety concerns that, if it happened here, could affect the rollout of any vaccine. As a result, farmers have been asked to cull all the animals in their farms. Mink farming has often been viewed as a cruel and controversial industry, and there are already plans in place within government to phase it out. This will now expedite the process, which Green Party councillor Donna Cooney is welcoming.
I think it makes sense now to close them and to compensate the farmers for many reasons. Anyway, we were going to close them because of animal welfare, because of concerns about wildlife and biodiversity. And now that there's this new strain, which we don't even have a vaccine for, it makes sense to progress that now and close them as soon as possible.
Mink farmers will be allowed to use the cull mink to make fur, but after that, mink farming in Ireland will be over.
It's emerged a man was threatened with a handgun in Derry on Tuesday of this week. Detectives at Strand Road say the man was leaving his home when he was approached by three males, one of whom is believed to have been armed with a handgun, and threats were made to both him and his family. The incident happened in the vicinity of the Westway. Police say they've been conducting inquiries in the area over the past few days, and it's evident they say the community is shocked and angered by the incident. Police are appealing to any witnesses or anyone with dash cam footage to come forward. Meanwhile, detectives at Strand Road are appealing for information following a spate of linked incidents in the city this morning. They include a car theft, collision and an attempt to set the car on fire. A man has been arrested, as Catherine Gaffney now reports.
Shortly before 8:45 this morning, it was reported that two men stole a silver Fiesta from outside a house in the Clonella area. A few minutes after it was stolen, it was reported the car collided with another vehicle on Buncrana Road before making off. It's then believed that around 25 past nine, two men driving a silver Fiesta approached the driver of a postal van in the Blyes Lane area and threatened him before removing parcels and making off towards the bogside. The silver Fiesta was subsequently abandoned at Miller Street, where an attempt was made to set it on fire. A man has since been arrested in connection with these incidents and is currently in custody. Inquiries are ongoing, and anyone with information is asked to call the non-emergency number 101.
A Donegal TD says it's beyond belief that residents living near the landslide scene at Mean Bog have received letters just days after the incident informing them of plans for a second wind farm development near the site. A full investigation into what happened near Ballybuffet is underway. Deputy Pierce Doherty says he believes the letters received this week detailing further plans show contempt for the community. He has rode in behind calls for work at the site to halt completely until a full investigation is carried out and the extent of the damage is known.
There are very, very serious issues. This company, in my view, has just don't care about the local feelings, don't care about the views of the elected members and Donegal County Council. And we can see the consequences now that that has had in relation to the slippage. This needs to be withdrawn. We need a full investigation, and we need to ensure that no more wind farm development takes place in this area, which is already designated as sensitive area and isn't suitable for this type of development.
Now, yesterday in the Dáil, the Taoiseach did confirm that an investigation is underway, and the council too have also confirmed that they're carrying out an investigation as well.
Yes, and look, we've our elected representatives, Gary Doherty and Arlie Begley and many others have been on site with some of the statutory agencies that are carrying out the investigation over the last number of days. And it is good that there's investigations because we do need to get to the bottom of it. But let me say this again, this was predictable. This is why we made a formal objection to this planning application.
Pearce Doherty speaking there to Catherine Gaffney. Teacher unions say some schools may have to close during the winter months because of problems with heating and ventilation. The TUI has told the Oireachtas Education Committee that many schools aren't fit for purpose to deal with a spell of cold weather. They want air quality meters installed in every classroom to help tackle the problem. A crash outside Maharabeg National School in Manor Cunningham this week has sparked fresh safety fears. The two-vehicle collision happened shortly before three yesterday afternoon on the busy main Letterkenny Derry Road. Both teachers and parents had previously campaigned for traffic calming measures outside the school, and while periodic speed limit signs were installed, it's thought they don't go far enough. Councillor Paul Canning says there has been progress on a long-term plan to build a car park to improve the safety of school users.
The whole situation still needs a lot of more work now, in fairness to the actual committee within the Maharabeg School. They have approached the local landowner and are in the process of purchasing property from him to build a car park that might alleviate some of the safety issues that's there.
Now, we do know that after many's a protest and campaign by the same group, that periodic speed limits were put in place there. Are they working, do you feel? Or, as you mentioned, maybe perhaps we need more safety measures installed at that area?
The situation with the periodic speed limits, they work for a period of time. And because they were all off during the summer, and whenever they came back, they were new again, so they speak to people, because the months of September, October, people were taking heed to them. But then after they get used to them, they tend to ignore them. And that's the problem you have with the periodic speed limits. But listen, look, they have to be revisited. We have to look at other alternatives.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. The new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with football. It's been confirmed that this season's FAI Cup final will be played at the Aviva on Sunday, December 6th. The outstanding quarterfinals get underway tomorrow, with the semi-finals to be played on Sunday week. Fin Harps, of course, are taking on Shamrock Rovers tomorrow evening. Kick-off on Friday is at 5:45 at Fin Park. Derry City's match against Sligo Rovers, of course, is put back to next Wednesday due to COVID within the Candy Stripe setup. Dundalk's Sean Murray has been named the SSE Air Trustee Player of the Month for October. The midfielder combined a goal against Derry City with goals in Europe against Kai and Mulder. Pep Guardiola is set to become Manchester City's longest serving manager in over 50 years. He signed a new contract which would keep him at the club until the summer of 2023. Guardiola took charge in 2016, and his new contract would see him surpass the reigns of Tony Book and Joe Mercer. In golf, Shane Lowry is 1 under par through the first 8 holes at the RSM Classic in Georgia. Graham McDowell is level through 2. Rory Sabatini is among the leading trio. They sit in 4 under. Jonathan Caldwell and Cormac Sharvin are both 2 under par following the first round at the Joburg Open. Sean Norris and Wolko Nirbar jointly lead there on 8 under. George Ford will make his comeback from an Achilles injury against Ireland this weekend. The England out half is named on the bench for Saturday's Rugby Union Autumn Nations Cup tie at Twickenham. Eddie Jones has made 4 changes to the side that beat Georgia last week. Tom Curry, Sam Underhill, Marco Vanapolo and Kyle Sinclair all return to the starting 15 for the match. On the snooker front, Irish involvement at the Northern Ireland Open came to an end this afternoon. Mark Allen was beaten. He lost out by 4-1 against Scott Donaldson in the 3rd round match. Now to Gaelic games. Donegal took on Cavan on Sunday in the 2020 Ulster Football Showpiece. Donegal have seen players step up in recent weeks, with the likes of Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson, Niall O'Donnell and Patter Mogan all playing huge roles in the championship wins over Tyrone and Armagh. Donegal manager Declan Boner says they will need to be at the very least the same work rate from the Armagh semi-final victory for the game against Cavan this weekend.
It's never about any of the individuals, to be quite honest, and I keep saying that, but those guys have definitely stepped up. There's a good blend, no more than I said about Cavan, of youth and experience, and we also have it in Donegal. And those players, like the likes of Ryan, the likes of Patrick, Michael, Neil, Hughie, that experience is so important for us, along with those young lads that you mentioned, the likes of Padraig Mogan and Niall O'Donnell and Michael Langan. So, yeah, no, it's getting that balance right. And as I say, you can see it every night at training. These guys are really pushing each other on, and you know, that's all you can ask for in any given night or any given game, as long as these guys put it in. And you know, they're doing that at the minute. You know, you look at games, and you know, differs from week to week. You know, the previous week against Tyrone, we got off to a poor start. We were 5 points to one down, and you know, we got our act together this time round, and we got off to a good start. That was important for us. I'm sure Mickey and Kevin will be looking again at that first half and see where they can improve. We will get ourselves ready for what's ahead, and we'll be looking for a similar type of performance. Again, as I said, that work rate and that energy that we look to bring into every game, we'll be looking for that again on Sunday. But you know, we will have to earn, as I said before, we'll have to earn the right to go out and win that title. It's not going to be handed to us. And I know Cavan won't hand it to us. They're a proud GAA county. So we've got to make sure our performance levels are up there.
Donegal boss Declan Bonner. It is, of course, a huge weekend for Donegal GAA with the Footlers and the Hurlers, both in finals on Sunday. We'll look ahead to that Donegal Cavan game with All-Ireland winners from Donegal, Colin McFadden and Martin McHugh, plus Damien Donoghue of Northern Sound will be joining us to look ahead to the provincial football final. Joe Boyle discusses Donegal's chances in the Nicky Rackard All-Ireland Hurling Final. They, of course, play Mayo on Sunday at Croke Park. Finn Harpsagon Shamrock Rovers in the quarter finals of the FAI Cup on Friday. We'll hear from Harps boss Ollie Horgan, while Leon Blanche of Boyle Sports joins us to look ahead to the fixtures and ahead of the game. It's all part of the score tonight. You can join me just after the 7 o'clock news for that. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisín. Well, as it's a Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The Teagasc series of webinars for farmers in Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim is now moving on to week 4, and next Tuesday's topic will be greenhouse gases and biodiversity on farms, with the speakers being Sean Rorty and Eamon Avery. This will be very relevant to Donegal farmers, as new pilot agri-environmental schemes will be announced next year. More details are on the Teagasc website. Tomorrow evening, just after 7 o'clock on RTE1, the nationwide programme will feature the Inish Owen Uplands European Partnership Initiative. This is an exciting programme which has already attracted a lot of interest. The project manager is Henry O'Donnell, and I've been speaking to him and began by asking him to outline just what it's all about.
This is a project, Chris, where basically a group of farmers in Inish Owen came together a couple of years ago, and we were discussing about the agri-environment schemes that we had to participate in to supplement our income. And we felt there has to be more innovative measures that farmers could do that could actually deliver financial returns to them, as well as fulfilling the objectives of our paymasters on environment, climate, water quality and emissions. So, to cut a long story short, we come up with a proposal for implementing measures on Inish Owen farms that deliver for our EU paymasters and actually improve the viability and sustainability of the farming we're actually doing. Now, in a nutshell, we have 5 measures currently being implemented on a selection of farms in Inish Owen. Very briefly, they are the introduction of diverse swards onto the farm, which are a low input, low nitrogen system, which is still very productive. Agroforestry, basically the introduction of trees onto the farm, which complement the existing livestock activity on the farm. They don't replace it, they complement it. We have introduced red clover swards for silage conservation, which produces very high quality silage with very minimal inputs from the farmer's point of view and no nitrogen fertilizer applied. The next measure is we have reintroduced cattle back onto the uplands. This has been proven to improve biodiversity. It removes fire loads from these areas, and it actually improves these areas for sheep grazing. And from the farmer's perspective, it's a grazing platform that farmers haven't been using for their cattle for years. So That's that measure. And then finally, we have introduced that every one of our participants develop at least one pond on the farm. Now, there's a lot of obvious benefits of ponds for biodiversity, for insects and ground-nested birds. And from a farmer's perspective, we see at least some of these being able to be used for a potential water supply. And even more recently, we can see that there could be applications for fire control in the uplands where they would actually act as a reservoir of water. So that's basically the five measures that we have been introducing, Chris.
And there is obviously science behind all this and expert advice. So where are you drawing the ideas from, and who's backing it all?
We have relied quite a bit on existing science. Now, if you look at the likes of the diverse swards, our motivation there is for farmers to reduce their costs of nitrogen fertilizer. Now, diverse swards have been proven to be very productive as a perennial ryegrass sward, but without the huge input costs of nitrogen fertilizer. There's also existing science there that outlines that they improve the soil, they improve the drainage of water down through the soil, they store more carbon in the soil, they release more minerals and vitamins into the growing season. They actually have anthelmintic properties, which means that our participants have to use less dosing for their animals that are grazing these swards, and we have seen results of that already. So there is a lot of existing science, and the cattle measure on the uplands, it's something traditionally was actually done quite a bit in Inishowen. We have just lost that tradition over the last 40 or 50 or even 60 years. And really what we're finding is that suitable cattle are actually very, very happy on the uplands and perform very well, and also provide ecosystem services in that they're actually improving the uplands, they're removing dead material, they're actually sequestering more carbon because of the fresh growth actually sequesters carbon out of the atmosphere. So we are relying a lot on existing science, and the surprising thing is that our ancestors were probably doing quite a bit of this in the past without having any science to back it up. It just was some of the more traditional agricultural practices anyway.
And how many farmers are actually implementing the actions on their farms?
Not all of the 25 are implementing all of the measures. So we have some participants that might only be doing one or two measures, and we have a few then that are actually doing all the measures. Now, we have a demonstration farm on James Breslin's farm in Redcastle. We had hoped that we could have opened this to the agricultural community and indeed the general public to come along and have a look at what we're doing. But we're lucky in that James has adopted all five measures on his farm. And that's the template that Nationwide used to film our project for viewing tomorrow night. So it was useful in that all the measures are on the one farm.
And in many ways, I suppose this is a pilot program, and if it goes well, it can be replicated in other parts of the country.
It's something we've had a lot of discussion about recently with the other EIP projects all over the country, because we're anxious, like other EIPs, that we have developed measures here that seem to work for farmers, and we're very anxious that the Department of Agriculture engage with us and look to see exactly what we're doing with a view to rolling this out in either a bigger scheme in Inishowen or maybe, as you say, something nationally, or at least in areas with similar type of landscape. So that's very, very topical at the moment to see how this new innovation can actually be adopted and made available to the wider community, because we know already, even in Inishowen, there's a lot of farmers that obviously we had limited capacity to take in farmers into the scheme. We know now there's a lot of farmers would actually be very keen to actually engage with some of these measures if there was support available to them.
And finally, there is a financial incentive to do it. How long does it go on for? And when we get to the end of the programme, what happens then?
Our current project with our participant farmers runs to the end of 2022. That's as far as it's funded. Now, there's really a big question mark as to what happens after that. We would love the idea that this would be available to more farmers, and we'll be pushing very hard for the Department of Agriculture to do that. We feel we could roll out a bigger scheme in Inishowen and make this available to more farmers. We would love to do that. Or maybe the department would adopt some of these measures and say the likes of the new REP scheme that's been talked about.
And that was Henry O'Donnell there, who is the project manager for the Inishowen Uplands European Innovation Partnership. And that will be featuring on RTE's nationwide programme tomorrow evening from 7 o'clock. In other news, Donegal farmers should be seeing their bank balances boosted this week. Over €46 million nationally is set to hit the bank accounts to 27,000 farmers who are participating in the Beef Finisher Payment Scheme, while almost €15 million is on the way to the 18,000 plus farmers participating in the Sheep Welfare Scheme, many of them here in Donegal. Meanwhile, concerns are being expressed about new rules which will require co-ops and pharmacists to have a prescription to supply medicines from 2022. The Dáil's Agricultural Committee has been told that if the new rules were applied to all fluke treatments, sheep dips, porons and wormers, it would make farming very challenging. Some 900 licensed merchants and 300 pharmacists who supply veterinary medicines will be affected by the new rules. Although they will still be able to stock the products, they will not be able to issue them without a vet's prescription. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Looking at the weather forecast, cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle developing this evening. Light to moderate southwest winds. Outbreaks of rain turning heavy and persistent overnight. A risk of localised flooding in lowest temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees Celsius. A wet start with some heavy falls persisting and an ongoing risk of localised flooding. The rain gradually clearing, but it will remain cloudy with patchy rain and drizzle at times and a mist in coastal areas. Highest temperatures 11 or 12 degrees Celsius in moderate to fresh southwest breezes. Main stories in brief this evening. The HSE has warned the recent positive COVID-19 trends have stalled. It says outbreaks in households are the main factor. There have been almost 1,000 across the country in the last week alone. The reproduction rate of the virus has risen slightly. It's now estimated at between 0.7 and 0.9. Meanwhile, it's emerged that over 450 staff are off work due to a number of COVID-19 outbreaks at hospitals across the country. Letterkenny, one of the worst affected, that's been confirmed by the Chief Operations Officer of the HSE, Anne O'Connor. In a joint statement, Donegal's two Sinn Féin TDs have repeated their calls for more urgent government support for the hospital as the COVID crisis deepens. On Friday, Deputy Patrick McLaughlin was told there were 133 staff off work. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The eviction notice is for this Thursday evening, the 19th of November. The death has occurred of Breed Hanlon by Ochter Duhery. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Bridget's Church, Letchermeckle Ward, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Jim Logue, late of 11, Breckenlee, Claudie, County Derry. His remains are reposing at his late residence, which, due to the current pandemic, is strictly private. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow at 10 to 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Donnymanna, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to present government guidelines, the numbers in the church and church grounds are strictly limited. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Ward 41 at Llangavan Hospital, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of James Callan, Ruskie Convoy. His remains are reposing at Terence McClintock's funeral premises today. Funeral from his late residence in Rooski Convoy tomorrow at 12:30 for 1 o'clock funeral mass in St Mary's Church Convoy, followed by burial in the family plot in the old cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital Fund, care of Terence McClintock, funeral director. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wakened funeral are private to family only. The funeral mass can be viewed on Terence McClintock funeral director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Breed O'Donnell, formerly of 5 St Julian's Terrace, Letterkenny. Her remains will arrive at St Julian's Cathedral, Letterkenny at 5:30 this evening. Requiem mass tomorrow at 11 with burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family and close friends only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/St Julian's Cathedral, Letterkenny. Family Flowers Only, please, donations if desired to Hillcrest House Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Noel Rodden, 4 Massiness, Creasla. Funeral mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow at 11 with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. Family Flowers Only, donations if desired to the Creasla Day Centre, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. Funeral mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Michael's Church, Creasla. And the death has occurred of Jim Tobin, 8 Ashling Court, Ballybuffet, formerly of Ballylanders, County Limerick. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, directly to the Clohan Day Centre. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorder. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house and funeral are strictly private to immediate families only, please.